pray over you. Father, just bless every person here tonight. Open up hearts and minds to receive your truth of how much you love them, how much you care about them. And Father, how you're calling us into a place maybe we've never been before with you that's so absolutely amazing. Let our hearts be responsive. Let our ears be open to the sound that you want to speak into our lives in this moment that we are in right now. Father, you are life, and we just receive all that you have for us. We glorify you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So last week I talked a little bit about learning from his voice. And I think one of the most sad things is being in ministry for 30-some years, how many people I've run into that say, I don't hear the voice of God. I don't even know what that looks like. I hear people that say that all the time, like on a regular basis. I've even talked to pastors that have said, I remember when God called me, but after that, it would be rare for me to hear the voice of God. Almost like God is like silent in the most of our lives, which is really terrible if you think that's what covenant or marriage looks like. If I was married to somebody and they never talked to me, I'd think, oh, they really love me? Are they really in this thing? Are they serious about where we're going and what we're doing? And so I really feel like sometimes it's not that God's not speaking. It may be just that we're not listening. We're not listening. So there's something that has to happen in us to train our ear to get to a place where we really begin to understand the God. So last week I talked about the difference from and for. So we're called to live from an intimate relationship with God. I don't live for a love, I live from a love. When I live from love, it makes for really easy. What I do, the action of for. So, and I grew up in a very legalistic church, very religious church, that everything was for. I'm doing this for God. I'm serving, you know, for forgiveness. I'm doing this for I can have freedom and all these different things. And it took me years and years and years to learn the difference between living from a place instead of for a place. From a place is really, really, really powerful. So God's called us to live from a place of sons and daughters of God, not necessarily from servants first. Servants, yeah, Jesus said, I've come to serve, not to be served. Serving is a serious biblical principle, but it's only truly healthy if you do it from sonship. And I'm sure if I was to go around the room and to talk to everybody in here individually, we all have church wounds. Good place for an amen. We all have had church rooms. We've all have had disappointments, right? Spiritual disappointments. We've all had prophetic words that we're still holding on to that we haven't experienced yet. Most of us, right? I'm just curious. I wonder how many of us even remember our prophetic words. What about the prophetic words you got 5 years ago? 6 years ago, 1 year, when somebody just come up to you and said, hey, I feel the Lord wants you to know this, and he's saying this to you, and because I know myself, unless I record stuff now, I don't remember it. My wife can tell me something 10 minutes ago, and I don't remember it. So I think sometimes the seriousness of the value that we carry for the voice of God may not match where our heart needs to be. And so my goal is always, as one of the fathers of the house, the leader of the house, is to always call you up into your identity, hopefully for you to be awakened concerning something. And that's one of the key elements of the kingdom, that God is raising us up. So I want to start with this scripture. This is one of my new favorite scriptures in the Bible. John 10:27 says this, my own sheep hear my voice, and I know each one, and they will follow me. Now, I want to say this again just for the sake of saying it. In order to have to hear God's voice, you have to be willing, have a will that submits to hear it. In order to follow, you have to be willing. You have to be able to submit your will to follow. But I love this verse because your willingness to hear motivates your willingness to follow. So here's the other side to look at. Listen to this. If you're not willing to hear, chances are you're not going to be willing to follow. We get them reversed. We think if I follow him, I'll hear. And God says, no, that's not how it works. Intimacy always comes before, from always comes before for. And that's the way he's designed relationship. So whenever we experience awakening moments, and we've got a lot of cool stuff happening in universities all over the nation right now that are having like incredible awakening moments in God, they're having revival. You can call it whatever you want. But here's the thing, with every awakening moment, with every revival, with everything God wants to do, there always is a place where you have to hear something. How many of you heard his voice when you got saved? Something said to you, you need God. A voice said to you, you need to repent. A voice said to you, this is the truth. Everything in the process of intimacy with God begins with hearing. Right? Faith is not the evidence of what we see, but hearing is involved in faith. Listen, he sent his word and healed them. So hearing is so detrimental to us. I always talk, me and Darlene, my wife, we always talk about the power of hearing the voice of God. The word voice in the Bible is phoné. It's a Greek word. It means a tone. It means a language. It means a noise. It means a sound, and it also means a song. So when you read, they heard the voice of God, this is what it means. It means a sound, a tone, a language, a noise, a song. It could be anything like that. And every moment that you see in the Bible, there's a lot of moments that we see where only happened one time in its history. Do you remember when David was going out to do warfare against his enemy? And God said to him, you're going to hear the marching of soldiers in the tops of the trees. And when you hear the marching of the soldiers in tops of the trees, that's when you're going to go into battle. And I'm going to deliver the enemy into your hand. Listen, David never ever recorded that he had that encounter ever again. It was a one-time moment. The Bible is full of one-time moments. I'm going to look at a couple tonight, but the Bible is full of, from Genesis all the way through, we see these one-time moments with God. Why are they one-time moments? Because God's design for us is not to park our car in a movement, but for our ears to be always open for where he wants to take us next. And sometimes we can park. We can pitch a tent. We can pitch a tent. And miss what God is saying in the moment and miss the moment that he wants to have with us. Let me just tell you this. Every encounter you have with God is meant to be personal. So let me say this. Let me say it this way. And this is not harsh. Please hear my heart. Hear my hunger. I cannot take responsibility for your intimacy with God. And you will not survive and last as a solid son and daughter of God, if all you're hearing is my voice, the word that I bring you, right? It would be like you getting a girlfriend or a boyfriend and one night he doesn't show up, so I show up and say, I'm his stunt double. I'm here tonight, I'm gonna take you out to eat, we're gonna hold hands and walk through the park and I'm, what? I'm your stunt double. You're settling for something that's not the reality of what you're meant to have intimacy with. And I hate to say it, but sometimes we do this in the kingdom. We look to hear the voice of everybody else around us. I believe in the fivefold. I believe in prophets. I believe in prophecy. I believe in all that stuff. But I think there can be an unhealthy time when we get to a place where we depend on everything and everybody else to hear the voice of God for us. I said this last week. It would be like me saying to Brian, call my wife up and tell her I love her. It just doesn't make sense. Why? Because it doesn't have the intimacy attached to it that it should have. Here's the question. What sound are you hearing right now? What's God saying right now to you? What's God saying to the church right now? What's God saying? You know, several of the great revivals that have moved in the world and across the world have began with young people. Right? The reason for that is they just don't care what people think about them. My wife was telling me the other day, the new trend right now around the world is to be a Christian with young people. You know why? Because the adults are telling them they shouldn't do it. So their rebelliousness is seen in, I'm going to have a relationship with God whether you like it or not. That's their nature. They want something. They want something that's real. They want something that's powerful. So I think God is always speaking. He's always wanting us to move into a place of him with intimacy. But I said this last week, but it's so truth. It's way easier for us to have an excuse versus an experience. We're great at making excuses. And we struggle in those areas. Let's be honest. What or who is your excuse for you not experiencing God the way you want to experience it? How many really want to experience God? Okay, what if that doesn't look like what you think it should look like? What if it's totally different than you're experiencing him right now? This is what I keep hearing. Every time I get in the presence of the Lord, every time I soak, and it's just a subtle line, and I go, Lord, can you go a little deeper? He always says, what's coming is nothing like you've ever seen before. And I said, Father, that's both exciting and scary. You know why? I know how crazy people can get. And I'm included in that. I'm fourth generation Pentecostal. I haven't unleashed that yet on you. You haven't heard me preach like I used to preach when I was a revivalist and traveling and speaking. I was a different man then. Then I realized I don't have to yell at people. Truth in and of itself can change us. So once again, I always say this, it's so true. The number one crime in the world is identity theft. The number one crime in the Christian body is identity theft. We are still struggling to figure out who we are, and we're still making Jesus in our image, not pursuing the image he has for us. And that's about to change. Jesus made this statement in John 10 and 9. I am the gateway, the door. To enter through me is to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction. So in the kingdom, our life evolves around which door we choose to open, which door we choose to close, how we respond to whatever door that God's offering. Revelation, he's talking in chapter 2 and chapter 3, he's talking to the seven churches that are the surviving churches. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone will hear, I will come in and they'll sup with me. I talked last week about the banquet and what that looks like for us, the invitation to the kingdom. But he says, I'm always knocking. I'm always pursuing. Even when Adam and Eve blew it, God was walking through the garden in the cool of the day, looking for the moment of fellowship to speak into his sons and daughters of God. But I've learned my response is just as powerful as hearing his voice. If I hear and I don't respond, I've not really heard. Revelation, listen to me. Revelation does not change you. Revelation empowers you to have encounters that change you. If revelation, the revelation or truth you get of God does not become an experience for you, you know something, but you don't really know it. It's like somebody giving you this secret to finance where you get out of debt real quick and you have money in the bank and you say, this is a really cool plan. I'm not going to do it, but it's a really cool thing. So we live in that place of having something here, but not experiencing it here. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father is always after our hearts. And I believe there's a greater awakening than we've ever experienced going on right now. I believe there's a sound, there's a voice that's happening. That if you really want to move into what God has for us, individually, it's always individually. I really felt when Noah got up, when the last part of the worship service, the Lord really said to me, I'm doing something individually right now. I'm challenging individuals to step into a place of intimate worship. Sometimes it's corporate, you can feel it. And services that have worship and a presence like we had here tonight, was Noah was talking about, where God challenged us individually to pull in into a place, into a presence that we've never experienced before, may make us uncomfortable. It can make us feel great, but sometimes it can really make us uncomfortable, because presence, light, exposes everything. You can't walk into a room and turn the light on and darkness hide in the corner. It's impossible. So the Lord said to me a couple of weeks ago, are you comfortable with light? Are you really comfortable? Because, you know, we want revival. We want awakening. There's so much we say we want. But sometimes on the flip side of that, it's like, do I really want that? Because what if God starts asking me for my stuff? Right? What if God tells me to give up this? What if God tells me to stop that? What if I'm dating that girl and God says, ain't gonna work? What if I'm dating that guy and God says, it ain't gonna work? That's what happened to me when I got saved. I was engaged, and I was engaged to a girl. I got saved. She got saved when I got saved. And we tried it for a couple of months to date, and the Lord just said, you know she's not going where you're going, right? And I said, Lord, you're going to have to really clarify this. So one day in the car, she said to me, I want you to know, when we get married, you'll have to give up hunting and fishing. I said, okay, let me see that ring. I threw it out the window. I know that's harsh, but that's the only response I knew to give. She was interfering at that time with one of the key loves of my life. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? Has God ever asked you for something hard? But now, who I have is amazing. It's God's design for my life. It's God's plan for my life. God's purpose for my life. And I'll never forget, I just got saved, and you can imagine, I'm 23 years old, come out of a drug culture, and I'm asking the Lord, if you could just give me a good woman, I'd be really something. The Lord said, you do not need a woman. He said to me, I need you to fall in love with me. I had never heard God speak to me like that before. I need you to fall in love with me. And I had no idea what that looked like. None. And then one day I just said, okay, Lord, I don't know what that looks like, but I'm gonna put all those desires, all those wants out of the way, and I'm gonna trust you. And literally, I went 2 years, never looked at a girl, never dated a girl, never thought about a girl, never thought about marriage, never thought about anything. 2 years. And 1 year, I was at the church in the morning, I was praying, and it's almost like, there's a terrible movie that has this line, but it's almost like he said to me, I release you. And I'm like, to what? He said, I'm releasing you. To date. I was like, been a long time. I don't even know I want to date now. And I didn't want to date. And the Lord just instantly directed me. Told me one day when I was praying, this woman here is going to be your wife. And I said, but Lord, she's engaged. This is your story. He said, I can take care of that. So when they broke up, I was there to minister to her, encourage her, strengthen her. And it's been amazing ever since. It really has. All because of the voice of God. Simply hearing his voice. Let me tell you this. No matter where you are with God, he's bigger than that place right now. I don't care if you're on the most spiritual high you've ever been on, the best spiritual place, the greatest revelation that you could ever have is where you're living right now. God is bigger even than that place. But sometimes we think that we can get saved and do life in a spiritual way without the voice of God. It's impossible. It would be like me getting married and saying to my wife, we're married now, don't talk to me anymore. It's all good. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. So I want to read some scriptures to you. And I love these verses. Let me get down here to what I really want to talk about. We'll get into this. We talked about last week about Luke 14:14, where, you know, we see these different encounters in the Bible, and they're so beautiful. And Jesus is talking to a group of people about a kingdom truth. And I want you to hear this statement. This is Luke 14. This is out of the Amplified Bible. I want to read this verse. It may not be up there. So Jesus is talking about this banquet that he's prepared. He's saying, going out and invite the people, invite those who are rich, invite those who are wealthy, and da 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 da. And then he goes on to say, invite the poor, by the broken, by those that are hungry. Invite them all to the kingdom. And all these people have made excuses. They've had excuses for not to meet Jesus. Here's what it says. Listen to this. It says in verse 18, but one by one, they all made excuses. Can't get more plain than that. You know what I find I used to do as a preacher? I'd always talk about what was coming. What if what was coming is already here? We're just not hearing it. What if what was coming is already here? We're just not responding to it. So here's this good guy. He's following Jesus. And this is verse, he's talking to them about the great experience, the great blessing of being at the banquet and eating with the master. And this guy says, then when you heard this, one of the dinner guests said to Jesus, someday God will have a kingdom feast. And how happy and privileged we will be, the ones who get to share in that joy. Jesus says this. Jesus replied with a parable. He said this. Listen to what he said here. A man invited many to join him in a great feast. Let me just say what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is saying the feast is already here. You just don't recognize it. And if I could be honest with you, I spent a lot of religious time living in the someday church. Someday we're going to have a move of God. Someday people are going to get saved. Someday people are going to get healed. Someday we're always, do you know what someday means? Not today. That's what someday means. It just means not today. And I've been a part of some great revivals, but I would still hear the concept of someday, someday, someday. So Jesus goes on to give them this powerful parable about what the kingdom looked like. And if you remember the story of Mephibosheth, it was so prophetic in Samuel that God would call this cripple man, the king would call this cripple man to his table to eat. And his name means the disperser of shame. And he's eating in the presence of the king. And he realizes that there's nothing he's willing to give. Now watch this. I want to read this verse here because it's an invitation to us. In verse 25, he says, they're all coming. He says, but there's still room for more. There's still room for more. I had, when I read this story, I was sitting in my living room. It was about 5:30 in the morning. I was reading this story. The Holy Spirit was, I had some soaking music on. It was just so fun. And the Lord said this to me. He said, you know you have a seat at the table, right? I said, what do you mean? You have a seat at the table. I said, Lord, I don't know if I deserve to be at the table. I've got some stuff crippling me. I've got some parts in my life that I would think disqualify me from being at the table. Let me say this to you. You know you have a seat at the table, right? Do you? I hope you know you have a seat at the table. The only way you cannot have a seat at the table is if God says come and you say no. We all have a seat at the table. You know, when he talks about a feast, feast is not like having lunch. A heavenly feast is like Golden Corral on crack. It's like everything you could possibly imagine. I'm not talking about, you know, can dumped out of a food, food dumped out of a can. I'm talking about serious food. But watch what he says here, and I love this in verse 21. He said, I say to you all, no one who receives an invitation to feast with me, who's he talking about? Himself. And makes excuses will ever enjoy my banquet. What a verse. How many excuses have we made for what God's not doing? You know what the word excuse means? The word excuse means to apologize. I apologize for you that I'm just not experiencing God the way I should. I just apologize that we're not having the move that we really want. I just want to say I'm sorry for the terrible identity that I have because I really don't know what sonship looks like yet. I don't know who I am. I'm so busy living for the for, I haven't discovered what it means to live from the from. I hate preaching words like this. I'd rather just preach on love all day long. I'm just telling you my heart right now. But this is what I feel like. I feel like until we get rid of our excuses. Do you know what I believe? I believe believers have a spiritual prejudice. Wow. What's that mean? I believe that anything that happens that's not within our own understanding, we reject it. If it doesn't line up with what we already know, we reject it. If it doesn't line up with past experiences, we reject it. Really, of all the spirits I hate, religion, there is a true religion. You know what true religion is in the Bible? Take care of the fatherless, take care of the widows and feed the orphans. That's it. That's how Jesus defined. This is pure religion. Take care of the widows, feed the orphans. Anything beyond that, God says, I'm not sure what that is. Anything that just has to do with knowing something but not being willing to be teachable, not willing, being willing to grow. I've just gone through the greatest 10 years of my life of unlearning I've ever had in my entire life. Where God's saying, I love the way you see that, but let me show you it this way. I love the way you have that truth locked in, like you know they're all there. Like you think you know they're all there is to know about grace, but God says, let me show you grace this way. Let me show you love this way. Let me show you presence this way. Let me show you worship this way. Right? And I realize that I have more to do with this relationship than sometimes we're taught. And according to John 10, our two greatest responsibilities in the kingdom as his sheep, as those who follow him, once again, is how we hear and how we follow. Will we hear and will we follow? And that's hard. That can be painful for people. He's looking for a willing people. Are we willing or are we unwilling? Luke 14:14, he just talks about this truth. He says this about the banquet table. Come. Everything is now ready. Not someday ready. Don't make me get Pentecostal on you. I'm telling you right now. I'll walk back there and preach to you. Everything is now ready. It's not a someday feast. We're not a someday church. 14:14, perfection. 14 is the perfect number in the Bible. 14 in the Hebrew language is listed as the perfect number. Perfect, it means perfection. It means a measure of spiritual maturity and perfection. And he's constantly calling out to us, come, everything's ready. Come, everything's ready. Yes, someday. No, now, everything's ready. Yes, sometime. No, now, I need you to, well, I work. Well, I need you to get up early. Now is the time. The table's ready. Will you give me an hour a day? Will you give me 15 minutes a day? Will you give me half? It's ready now. I'm not fearful for what's going on in the world. What's going on in Canada is you just have no idea what some of my family are going on with Canada. I mean, it's moved in literally to Marxism. The stuff that's going on is bizarre. I'm not freaked out by that. But what I do know is in the moments we're living in, we cannot afford not to hear his voice. We cannot afford not to respond. I think it was Bob Jones prophesied that in this season, we would have a billion person harvest. Someday. How many prophetic words have you gotten? You thought, yeah, someday. I believe he's going to speak to me, Pastor, someday. He goes on to say this: you have ears opened by the Spirit, then hear the meaning of what I have said and apply it to your lives. In the same chapter, Luke 14, double perfection, double blessing. Somehow, we want others to take responsibility for our experiences. You know, a lot of people don't have a prayer life until things stink. Some people don't dialogue with the Father. I've never doubted God's with me. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. But I've had moments when I've had conversations with God that I can say, I was tempted to say, God, where are you? God said, don't do that. I'm here. Then I realized what was happening. I had a lens of how God spoke to me. So what if God doesn't speak to you how he used to speak to you? What if he doesn't respond to you how he used to respond to you? What happens then? Do you say God's not listening? Listen to this. I want to read this here. I love this story. It challenges me. This is the greatest lens change, I think, in the history of the New Testament church. And it's found in Acts chapter 10. It's the story of Peter, okay? And it says this, and this is really going to challenge us, because when you read it in this translation, the Passion Translation, it really gives the Aramaic translation of what this story looks like. But it's so, so powerful. Watch this. This is 10. This is Acts 10, verse 9. The next day around noon, as Cornelius' men were approaching Joppa, Peter went up on the flat roof, and wanted to eat. So listen, let me tell you this. First of all, Peter's hungry. If you want to hear God, the best place to position yourself is in hunger. I only have a few foods that I crave. Anytime I go on a little diet or do something healthy, which, you know, I think diets are from the Antichrist. Anyway, anytime I try to do something healthy, right? There's only certain foods. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That I crave. Can I get an amen? Right? I don't know what your food is, but I have certain foods that I crave. Like, I'm not a big chocolate guy, but I love chips. I love Doritos. Yeah? Doritos will take you into a heavenly encounter. Some people like chocolate. I never had Southern food till I moved here. And for somebody that's never eaten Southern food, you know, I think of all the great things I've eaten. I think pinto beans are probably my favorite. I was running revival in North Carolina, and I had a dear old soul in the church bring me this. She said, I'm going to bring supper and drop it off to your hotel. I said, that's fine. Just lay it at the door. She knocked, and I opened up the door, and here was this pot. I took the cover off, and all that was in it was beans. Well, beans, where I'm from, is like a side menu thing. It's like goes along your steak and potatoes. But it was beans, and it had wrapped in this cloth, this big thing of cornbread, and it had some onions in a little container. And so I take it into the bedroom. I'm like, okay, how do I eat this? With a spoon, a big one. I ate the whole pot. And I was making some noises and some sounds that night in church. They were hearing a sound. It just wasn't a healthy sound. It just wasn't the Lord. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I've learned to eat pinto beans with wisdom, supernatural wisdom. But I love this story. I want you to see this. So he's hungry, and he's in this place where he's just desiring this incredible move of God. And so he goes up to the rooftop, and he begins to have this encounter with Jesus. And it's powerful. So watch. He said, but while lunch was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Let me tell you this. The original text here actually says trance. A trance is not a vision. Trances actually can cause you to levitate. Now, we know this is not God, because God don't do trances, right? He does visions and dreams. But the original text here is trance. It means to go into some type of realm that's so bizarre that actually as the heavens opened and this sheet was being let down from heaven, if you look at this translation, Peter was actually rising to meet the sheet. Touch your religion yet? Because this is a totally different encounter. Nobody in the Bible had this encounter like Peter had. Some people were translated. Some people went into a third heaven. Peter's caught in the middle of two realms. And this sheet is left down by the four corners, which represent the world, the four corners of the earth. And he has this encounter with all kinds of four-footed animals and beasts and reptiles and birds. And God says to him, eat, Peter. Peter says, whoa, you know I can't eat this. You wrote the Old Testament. You know I can't eat this. Even though Peter is in a New Testament position, even though he's had an encounter with Jesus, he's received the fact that the Messiah has come. He is still holding on to something. And it could possibly keep him from moving into the greatest transition the church has ever faced, which is the Gentiles were going to have an opportunity to be filled with the Spirit, and he was going to be a big part of the launch of a great revival. We're talking a Jewish guy that was raised in a culture that he was not allowed to fellowship with a Gentile. He was not allowed to go into the house of a Gentile. He was not allowed to eat with a Gentile. And you got to picture Peter, what's going on in his heart. Peter's hearing a sound and a voice he's never heard before. And he's probably thinking, I don't know if I'm supposed to rebuke this. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this, because God, in all my relationships since I met Jesus, has never talked to me like this. He's never asked me to do something that's so contrary to what I believe. That's the challenge. It's responding to the stuff that doesn't make sense to us. And sometimes God will do things, and he will not have a theological debate with you about it. He doesn't say to Peter, yeah, I know the Bible says that, Peter, and I know you're not used to do. He doesn't even engage in that conversation. He just says, Peter, it's me. There's some men downstairs, and he says this in this translation, go now. Peter's thinking, yeah, if I do this, I could lose my ministry. I'm going to have to meet with the elders. I'm going to have to meet with other apostles. I'm going to have to meet with the church structure I'm a part of. I'm going to explain myself to everybody because I'm doing something that's so contrary to what I believe. I love that you believe. But sometimes the stuff that you believe has to shift. Sometimes the stance that's required for us may not look normal. I know what that's like. I know what it's like when God asks you to do crazy stuff. The Bible says he entered into another realm. A heavenly realm opened up. A large linen tablecloth that descended from above being let down to the earth by its four corners, and it floated down. He saw that it was held many kinds of four-footed animals, reptiles, and wild birds. Listen to this. I think two unclean animals would have been enough for Peter. Why is he showing them all this stuff? Why could he not just let the towel go, here's a bird and here's a snake, and I know you don't eat them. But he gives them this representation of four. Four corners, the perfection number of God. 14, four. It's God moving him into a place of purpose, divine. It's the divine plan of God unfolding in his life. And here's the thing. He's hearing, but he still has to respond. Hearing in itself is great. It's powerful. We need it. His voice is the fuel to your life. In him we live, move, have our being. It's always him first. And if you've lost the will to live for him, to be in him, and to move in him, it's because somewhere along the line, you've forgotten about the intimacy that has to be discovered with him. This whole thing we're doing here tonight, this whole worship atmosphere, this whole listening to the word is always about your intimate relationship with God, and it's always individual. I'm just going to tell you, I will not bring you a revival. I don't have a move of God in a briefcase at the house from the revivals I've been a part of. What brings a move of God is when a group of people get hungry and they say, we're radically willing to be changed, even if it challenges my present belief system. Even if it challenges some things we don't know. Some things we have to experience. You know, some things, sometimes God speaks to us through experience first. Right? Elijah's up on the mountain. He's running from Jezebel. He had one of the greatest victories in his life. And he's running. He's in a cave. There's an earthquake. There's a wind. There's fire. And I'm assuming that Elijah had been used to hearing God to that format. And then God shows up with a whisper. It's the only time you see that God whispered to Elijah. Every other encounter Elijah has with God is radical. It's like, oh, I can't believe you're doing that. Here's this one encounter. He's fearful. And God shows up, and a whisper means this. A whisper in the Hebrew is to speak without vibrating your vocal cords. So listen. So God's speaking, but he's not speaking. What does that mean? That means Peter sensed his presence in a different way than he ever experienced before. And he covered his head and he walked out on the edge of that cave because he knew he was about to have an encounter similar to the one that Moses had. And Peter asked, and God asked this question to him. Watch this. What are you doing here, Elijah? Listen, you know you can park your car in the wrong spot, right? Don't believe me? I've done it. Go downtown and park at those, you know, automatic pays and just ignore it. I've had lots of experiences in life where I parked my car in the wrong place. Elijah's in the wrong place. God's not mad at Elijah. He's not judging Elijah. He just wants to know, hey, those past encounters I gave you, the prophets of Baal, calling fire down from heaven and licking up the stone, licking up the liquid and licking up the water and licking up all the animals and all the prophets of Baal dying. And then you're being on a mountain and said, I hear the abundance of the sound of rain. And then you're running down faster than a supernatural horse. All those things have a value in your life. Have you forgotten those? Because if you have, what are you doing here? What are you wanting to hear? Well, you spoke to me in the thunder before. I'd appreciate a little thunder right now. Maybe a tornado, something really cool. It's like this moment we had tonight. So it's just music. Nobody's entertaining us. There's no lyrics. Wah, 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 wah. We're waiting. What are you waiting for? Oh, I'm getting tired. I wish somebody'd sing something. Are we moving on? How long is this service going to be tonight? I'm hungry. You know, if Jericho would have happened today and God was to call a group of men to walk around Jericho, I don't think we'd have been able to be quiet. You know, like, psst, what are we doing again? What's supposed to happen? You know, I missed a couple of football games already. This better start happening soon. I'm hungry. Anybody else hungry? I'm craving wings. Jamie's lost it. I had a guy invited me one time to his yard. He thought God was going to send fire to burn his tree, burn this tree up in his backyard. And I went. Listen, everybody said, I can't believe you'd go. You wouldn't be saying that if fire come down from heaven and burnt the tree up. You know the only bad scenario in that situation? Listen, there is none. Whether it comes or it doesn't come. If God was speaking to that man, my responsibility as believers is, that's cool, I want to be a part of that if it happens or if it doesn't happen. We're so busy judging what it looks like from our experience and our revelation of what it looks like. We're still trying to form God in our image so much when actually we're created to be in his image. 1 John 4:17, as he is in the world, so are we meant to be. I my heart is really, listen, I'll tell you honest, I care less about having a church of 1,000 people. But I do know this, I want what God has for us now. I want who's here to have an encounter with God, a life-changing encounter where then you become so in tune with his voice, whether you're at work. When we discover our identity, and check this, because I'm going to say some crazy stuff here in a minute. When we really get our identity, sickness will not be tolerated in this house. Shame will not be tolerated in this house. Demonic will not be tolerated in this house. Anything that looks opposite than sonship will have to be dealt with before it leaves this house, because people have their identity and they're hearing from God. That's what happens. That's how it works. That's how it works. Watch this. So it floated down. And he saw it had reptiles, wild birds. And a voice said to him, why is it not God? Why does the translation here not say, and God said to him? And then you go on, it said, and Peter had to think about these things. He tried to process what the vision means. You know why he had to do that? It was a voice he never heard before. Peter heard God's voice all the time. He was healing the sick. He was prophesying. He was an apostle. He didn't know what the voice of God didn't sound like. But God's asking him to do something that's so unordinary that even the voice of God sounds different. Let's take a moment. When the voice of God speaks to you, but it's something challenging, don't you go, is this you, God? Why? Because he's challenging your present experience and doctrine and truth that you have. Unlearning is fun. I'm reading this, I'm going, I'll have a trance. I tell you what, Lord, what if I pray over the whole congregation? Everybody has a trance. Y'all looking at me really spooky now. You're saying, I need a trance. I need to wake up. Now watch. Peter replied, there's no way I could do that. Lord, I've never eaten anything forbidden, impure, unclean. Let me just say this. Do you know how many times in the name of the kingdom I've called what God was doing forbidden, impure, and unclean? One translation says, and Peter said, I cannot touch this because it's defiled. And Jesus makes this statement, whoever was speaking to him makes this statement, I believe it was the Spirit, said to him, what God calls clean, let no man call unclean. Now let me just stop here. I'm trying to awaken something in you. I don't even know what that looks like, but I'm trying to wake something. How many times have you been in where God's moving and something happens that's contrary to what you know and you go, I don't know if that's God. Here's what you're saying. That's unclean. I've been in church a long time. It don't happen like that. That's not the way it's supposed to look. I've seen some strange stuff in 4 years of revival, let me tell you right now. I've seen some crazy stuff. And even in the midst of the presence, there was times I sat back and went, I don't know, God, if that's you. And it was. So the question you have to ask yourself, if it doesn't line up with my belief system I've developed or I've been taught, God's not trying to change your whole belief system. There's foundational truths, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. There's no other way to the Father but through Jesus. There's no way you can be saved. There's foundational truths. I'm talking about what we need. We have to stop living from earth to heaven and start living from heaven to earth. And if we can come before the throne of God boldly to the throne with grace, we need to start listening to the intercession that the Bible tells us that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are having for us so we get to hear the sound of what needs to happen down here. How many prayers have I prayed that have not been connected to the guiding of the Holy Spirit? One of my favorite statements in the Bible is, teach me to pray. One of the greatest revelations God ever gave his disciples was, pray like this. Thy Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. You realize that every sound that is on the earth has to submit to the sounds that are in heaven. What does that look like for me? You ready? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, the cosmos, the divine design of what the cosmos looks like in the spiritual realm, what it looks like in the enemy, what it looks like in the kingdom. And here's what God's saying, because I've created you, that greater is he that is in you, every sound that doesn't match the sound of heaven has to yield itself to the sound that's in you. Sing a little song. You know, we all have a personal sound we're listening to. Right now, everybody in this room is living according to a voice or a sound. You can have the sound of the voice of excuse. You can have the voice of religion. You can have the voice of shame. You can have the voice of whatever it is, the reason why you're not, or someday you're hoping to hear God, or someday you're hoping for a count, or someday you're going to hope you pray for the sick and they recover, or someday you're going to experience this stuff, because we leave all that stuff to what we call the professional Christians. This is not for everybody, right? Trick question? That's only for the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists and the fivefold and the special people that have special giftings and callings. My wife was telling me, she was listening to a woman this week. I love this story. She said she gets saved. She gets one prophetic word. She never had a prophetic word in her life. And the Lord says to her, the guy says to her, the Lord is calling you into a ministry of deliverance, right? She goes out the next day, starts walking the streets and telling people, do you need deliverance? A one-time word the next day, not like, I wonder what that means. Wow, Lord, I wish I had somebody show me what that looks like. Had no idea, just walking the streets. Hey, how are you doing? Well, I'm struggling with this. Hey, let me pray with you. And people started being delivered. Go figure. Just because somebody embraced a voice. I've listed a lot of encounters. in restaurants because God has spoken. Say, hey, go up and go over and pray for that person. That person don't know me. They think I'm crazy. Well, you are crazy. Yeah, you're an alien. Aliens are crazy. Aliens don't look right. So here's Peter. He's processing. I want you to see the story. It's very, very powerful. You know, Peter lives a life of three encounters. If you look, follow Peter's life, he's had three encounters in everything he did. Everything. When Jesus called him back, Jesus challenged him three times. Do you love me, Peter? The third time he denied Jesus, a rooster crowed. Here's the third time. It had to show up three times for Peter to say, yes, Lord. Here's the thing. Cornelius was a devout man, the Bible says. It means that Cornelius prayed always. We talk about Peter, but what about Cornelius' encounter? Because Cornelius had an encounter with an angel. Two incredible encounters here happen. I'm about to close. Stay with me. He says, go downstairs now. For three men are looking for you. Don't hesitate. In other words, don't back up. Don't stop. Go with them because I have sent them. Listen, Cornelius was hearing a voice. He sent the guys. Our whole life is consumed by a voice. Are you hearing it? What's it sound like? What's it look like? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for me? Matthew talks about this. Another Peter encounter. You realize that all Peter's encounters were one-time encounters and were strange encounters? Right? Remember when Peter went up and they had Moses and they had Jesus? What did Peter say? Let's build three thrones. And the voice said, hey, Peter, don't be such a knucklehead. This is what's happening. Peter seems to be the only one willing to step out. What if response to the voice is a way bigger deal than what we realize? I read stuff and I say, Lord, why'd you choose him? So they're out in a boat. That sounds Canadian, doesn't it? I'm not even going to say it again. They're out in a boat. So they're out in this boat and a storm arises, right? It gets scary. And Peter makes this statement. If it's you, call me. Hey, Peter, come. This is my question. Is coming for us worth the risk of drowning? If divine encounter worth the risk of losing everything. Because Peter kept going through lens change after lens change after lens change. That's why he was the rock. And Peter just simply stepped out on a voice. And he did something so supernatural. If you come to my house and I'm walking on the pool, water, you know something's happening. But see, what happens with us sometimes is we get more caught up in the word from the world than we do than the words from the kingdom. You know why? We've tuned our ears to the world. And here's what Jesus said to Peter. Don't see the storm, see me. Don't see the storm, see me. We're living in a real stormy time. Am I telling you the truth in the world? There's some crazy stuff going on, right? I mean, I thought the 70s was crazy. There's nothing. The 80s was bad enough, and the 90s were terrible. Worst music era ever. That's what we define terrible. But now what's going on, we're sitting back going like, what are people thinking? There's a major attack on identity. In the world, in the church, it's just identity. If there's ever a time we need to hear them, it's now. I don't know what you have to do. I don't know what it looks like for you. If you listen to the kingdom more than this kingdom, you'll overcome negativity. Negativity is the first thing that shows up to stunt a move of God. It's when you have believers sitting back judging. You know, I got all the news articles from Azusa Street. I have them all. The original news articles in a book from everything that happened from Azusa Street from the start to the finish. It is mind-boggling. You know what's consistent? Here's what's consistent. Why people were being healed and delivered, spiritual leaders were in the back arguing whether it was true or not. In the midst of presence. Here's the thing. We don't think it can happen to us. But I've done it. I've been a part as a leader, as a pastor, of creating a culture that is about a touch, not about a life change. If I can just get God to touch you, maybe, just maybe you'll make it. But if I can get God to have a real encounter with you beyond a touch, then it changes you out there. It doesn't change you out here. This just becomes the Knights of Columbus, get together and hang out. Let's become some other entity. And just hang out, whatever that looks like. But God is speaking. The question is, will you hear? Will you follow? Come on, I want you to stand. You okay? I could go on all night. I just want to prepare you for that. I want to read you this last scripture. I love it. I think it's so powerful. When God positions us, it's really interesting in Ephesians and Matthew. So Matthew 18 to 20 says, receive this truth, talking about us. Whatever you forbid on earth will be considered to be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you release on earth will be considered to be released in heaven. Again, I give you an eternal truth. If two of us agree on anything, let that sink in one more time. If two of us agree on anything, it shall be so. Now watch what he says in Ephesians 2 and 6. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now, not someday, we are now co-seated as one with Christ. That's a heavy verse. That's a strong identity verse. Listen to me. If you've got fleeces out there and you've got challenges out there for God to say, I'll believe you if, don't work that way. The quickest way to God's heart is humility. He says, when you humble yourself, I exalt you. God says, when you're there, I pick you up here. And up here, you see so much clearer. We shouldn't be questioning why we don't believe things. We should be repenting, Lord, show us why we don't believe things. How many truths do we have that we're not yet experiencing, but we want to? Have you ever sat down and journaled with the Lord? Why am I not encountering this? I've been taught it. It's true. I've seen even some of it. But I think the challenge for the church is it's going to be different. I really don't want to be a part and build a community that comes in for a touch. I want to build a community that comes together for God encounters and leave radically changed. I want to build a presence, invite a presence of God to be so strong where people come in, it will so touch them in such a way that they're willing to let God have anything that he requires just for his presence. See, anytime we seek a kingdom and it's just sign and wonder base, we seek a kingdom without a king. It doesn't work that way. It's always king first. The word kingdom means the king in his domain. It's not backwards. You're going to need to hear the voice of God. Let me say it again. Where we're going in the world, you're going to need to hear the voice of God. I'm calling you up. I don't care if you start with 5 minutes or you've got 20-minute drive to work and you're just sitting in the car weeping, speaking to God. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to tell you right now. He said to the church of Philadelphia, all the churches at the very end when he challenges them, he says this, him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says of the church. And it's not always going to be a scripture. I've had experiences first and God goes a month later, this is where that's at in the Bible. I went, oh my gosh, how could I read the Bible so many times and miss that truth? You weren't hungry for it. I'm not after a 1,000-member congregation. I'm after a presence that's so strong. No matter who you bring to church, no matter if they're lame, if they're broken, if they're shamed, if they got addiction, if they're possessed, I don't care what it looks like, that the presence is so strong that everybody leaves changed. I want your kids in it where there's no excuses. The power of God comes and we notably go, he's here. We can't not acknowledge him. He's here. If you were here tonight and you didn't feel God's presence, if you didn't feel the fire, your wood's wet. You need to dry your wood out. You need to start questioning your heart. I don't put guilt trips on myself, and I give God permission to speak into my life. So God just speaks to me plain. He'll show up and love me for an hour and then say, can I have that? What about if everything you have was submitted to God? What does that look like? Noah talks about the righteousness of God. He talks about the community of the Acts church where they sold everything and brought it to the disciples and they dispersed it and they all lived. We are so far from that. Why? Because it's still about our kingdom. Right? Because we still don't really like everybody we do kingdom with. I told my wife, if there's many members to the body and the God talks about a nose and an eye and an ear and a thumb, I told my wife the other day, I want to know who the butthole is because I'm sure I've got some of those in my church. I've had some of those in my life. If God's defining what the body looks like, I mean, that's a great question. Because we love them too, right? They may have some stinking thinking, but we got to love them. We got to pull them in, let them have an encounter with God. Come on, I want to pray with you. Just put your hands up like a cup. Don't have to go way up like this. Just put your hands like this. I want to pray something over you. You ready? Father, I speak over every person in this house right now that this week they will have a divine encounter with presence like they've never had before. They'll have an experience with you, whether it's on the way to work, whether they're doing something fun, or whether they're just sitting resting and having a coffee, or if they're driving in their car. I just bless them with a divine encounter where you show up and their heart gets touched in such a way that, Father, there'll be things that break off where they realize they can't have the old and the new. It doesn't work that way. They can't have both. They can't have both. You can't put new wine into old wineskins. Let them have an encounter with you, Jesus. Not somebody else's encounter, their own individual encounter. Hmm. Let them hear when they say, is that you? Let them hear you say, come, the table is set. Let's eat together. Do it in Jesus' name.